The question for this evening. The birth of Jesus, random or what? The birth of Jesus, random or not? You could tell the story like this if you wanted to use that random word. Once upon a time, a random dictator issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first random census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. And because of this, a random guy called Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a random manger because there was not even a random guest room available for them. And then a random angel appeared in a random sky to some shepherds. And he said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And around the same time, a random star appeared in a random sky, which was seen by some random magi who followed the star to Bethlehem. They arrived after the shepherds, presumably because they had further to travel. Is that how the story goes? The birth of Jesus, random or what? The birth of Jesus, random or not? What do you reckon? The birth of Jesus is not and was not random at all. In fact, everything about the birth of Jesus had been planned centuries in advance. The fact that God, that is to say Jesus, would be born as a baby was prophesied by Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, some 725 years before Jesus was born. And this is what he said: "For to us, prophetically speaking, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." 725 years before Jesus appeared in Bethlehem, Isaiah the prophet had foretold that he would be born. What about the fact that Jesus would be born to a virgin? Well, this also was prophesied by Isaiah around the same time. And this is what he said: "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." And of course, Emmanuel, as you know, means God is with us. And then finally, the fact that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. Even this was prophesied, not by Isaiah, but by the prophet Micah, also around about the same time. And this is what he said: "You, Bethlehem, Micah the prophet addressed Bethlehem and said, "You, Bethlehem, even though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will be ruler of my people Israel." The birth of Jesus is not and was not random at all. In fact, everything about the birth of Jesus had been planned centuries in advance. And let us not forget that Jesus had existed since forever. He was present with God the Father at the creation of the world. And there's that famous verse when God decides to make mankind. And in Genesis it says, God said, "Let us," not "let me," "let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." We get this whisper here, Jesus present with God the Father at the creation of the world. And this is borne out by the gospel writer John, who says, "In the beginning was the Word," which we understand to be a name for Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word," Jesus, "and the Word," Jesus, "was with God, and the Word," Jesus, "was God." In the beginning, thousands of years before the Bethlehem thing, he was with God in the beginning, and through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The birth of Jesus is not and was not random at all. In fact, everything about the birth of Jesus had been planned centuries in advance. Let's move on, please, to our next slide. Jesus' timing, his coming to earth, was not random. It was perfect. Let's just think for a moment about the Bethlehem factor. You see, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied about 730 years in advance that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Okay, it's one thing to make a prediction or to utter a prophecy, but it's quite another thing to ensure that the prophecy will come to pass. How are you going to do that? You see, we know that Mary and Joseph were living in the town of Nazareth in Galilee at the time that she became pregnant. But according to the prophet Micah, Jesus has got to be born in Bethlehem. What is going to motivate them to travel 90 miles to Bethlehem when Mary is so heavily pregnant? And here is where we see God's perfect planning and timing. You may think of Caesar Augustus as a random dictator, but God had everything in control. Inadvertently, even Caesar Augustus was being used by God to further his purposes. Because of Caesar's decree, Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, and so the baby Jesus got to be born in Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy written by Micah about 730 years before the birth took place. God's timing was not random, it was perfect. And there's a beautiful verse in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, that says this: "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes. And nowhere do we see this more than in the life and the ministry and the appearing of Jesus. The timing was perfect. Now, you may have noticed something about kittens and puppies. Has anyone ever had a kitten or a puppy? Just raise your hands. Okay. You may have noticed something about kittens and puppies that also applies to babies. Now, I'm not going to ask you to call out your answers because some of them might not be very nice. But one thing I would say that puppies and kittens and babies all have in common, they don't stay little for long. And of course, Jesus did not stay as a baby for long. Indeed, his very reason for coming to earth was to grow into a man and be crucified to take away the sins of the world. And of course, we are talking about your sin and my sin if we choose to believe in him. And the Bible tells us that God's timing, even in this matter, was perfect. A verse in the New Testament tells us this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then there's this other amazing verse, also in the New Testament, that says this: Jesus has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages. I do that action because the Romanian word, culmination, culmia, can mean like the peak of a mountain, but it can also mean a peak in history, a high point in history. Jesus has appeared once and for all at the high point of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. And if you think about it, history hinges on the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. All of us have calendars that relate to the AD BC thing, which is related to Jesus' time on earth. And yet, the culmination of the ages that the Bible talks about does not refer to changes in a calendar. It refers to a change that is so much more profound, a change in our relationship with God. If we will believe in him, and if we will receive him, we can become children of God. And we'll move on now to our last slide, please. You see, Jesus' purpose was not random either. His timing was perfect, and his purpose was perfect. The Bible tells us this. It was because God loves the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We're also told that to everyone who does receive Jesus, that is to say those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. And this is not simply something in the past tense. This is valid today too. Because there's a verse that says, now is the time of God's favor. And now, today, is the day of salvation. And the question has to be asked, will you respond? Will you turn to Jesus? Those of you who did primary school drama with the nativity scene, you probably remember, maybe you were Mary or Joseph and you had to go around banging on doors. And if you do that when you were a kid in the drama, and the innkeeper would say, no room, no room, no room. Today, Mary and Joseph, they're not banging on doors, but there is one who is banging on doors today. The last book of the whole Bible, as if to say the summary of the whole thing, tells us this, that God, Jesus, the one who was there at the creation of the world, the one who came to Bethlehem, Jesus, now is banging on the door of your heart and he's saying, here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. What is it that's more intimate when you have people to your home than sitting and eating together at the meal table? That's what many of you will be doing with your families and friends over Christmas. And Jesus says, I want to come into that inner place, what you might call the real me, deep within the visible me. That's where he wants to meet with you, because he loves you, cares for you. It's up to you to open the door and welcome him in. Amen.